Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada News Magazine. On the broadcast today, Assemblyman Greg Koenig of District 38, one of the largest districts in the state, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org. A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. Building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, from the home of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We're delighted to welcome back to the program Assemblyman Greg Koenig of District 38. It is a pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me.
One of the things that I enjoy about you is that, you know, you didn't just jump in the legislature. You have this vast experience from school board to county commission, city council, all the way into the legislature. So you have a lot of experience in how government works. But one of the things, and I was looking at the notes here, your District 38 includes Churchill County, Esmeralda County, parts of Lyon, Mineral, and Nye counties. A, how many square miles is that? B, are you trying to beat out Pete Goicoechea for how many miles you put on your vehicle each year?
You know, and I'm not exactly sure how many miles is. I just know it's a lot. You know, I think Bert Gurr, over representing Elko in that area, he goes all the way from the Idaho border down to the California border. So I thought my district was really big until I looked at a map and saw what his district was, and I can't complain anymore because his is a lot bigger than mine. But yeah, it's a lot of empty spaces and a lot of probably more jackrabbits than people, but we each have to represent 75,000 people. So to get 75,000 in my area, we go from Fallon in the north to Tonopah in the south, and that encompasses our 75,000 people. So,
and you have a lot of interesting discussions from all those different places. Is it practical to have an electric vehicle in rural Nevada?
Personally, I would say probably not quite yet, especially in the rural. So, I mean, if you're going along the highway, you know, I-80 between Reno and Salt Lake, there's enough places to stop to fill up your, you know, to recharge your vehicle. But for me to go into, you know, Fish Lake or some of those places, you know, there isn't any charging station. So I haven't jumped on board quite yet. I kind of like my gas vehicle. And it's just at this point, you know, if all things were even and the same, I would really consider it. But I think at this point, having to charge out in the ultra rurals is not practical yet at this point.
Yeah, I drive an electric vehicle and I bought it as an in-town vehicle. And it's surprising, just driving from Reno to Carson City and back takes a lot out of that car. I mean, it just doesn't have the mileage that you would want at 80%, which is the optimum charging rate. Let's talk about the film tax credit, because that seems to be one of the highlights of the session so far in terms of media attention and public attention. A, what do you think about it?
So I honestly haven't made up my mind yet. The hearing was in a committee that I wasn't in, so I just probably saw highlights like you did. I didn't, you know, see the down and dirty nitty-gritty how it works. I see the pros and cons. You know, you look at some of these other states that have given the film industry some pretty big incentives. A couple of them think that it maybe is a break even if they're lucky. A couple of them think they probably are losing money, and then there's a couple that think they're doing okay. You know, I don't think it's a slam dunk at this point. You know, it pushes out. It doesn't take effect for a few years down the road. So, you know, it's easy to punt it to someone else and let them deal with the problem part of the tax, you know, credits that where they won't be getting the money that they have. Can bring in some industry. I'm not sure yet. I've got to do some more studying, and I'm sure there's going to be definitely more hearings, and I'll get more involved. I kind of really want to see too what the governor weighs in on that. He hasn't come out in one way or the other all the way at this point. But yeah, it's an interesting concept, I think. I haven't decided on what I'm going to do on that one yet.
One of the things that struck me was, you know, we have such a housing crisis in Nevada, and the cost of housing is so expensive, especially where they're planning to build it in Summerlin. You know, how do you take care of those issues along with it, and should you take care of those issues along with it?
You know, that is a good question. And, you know, we want to recruit as many people to the state as we can and increase our base and diversify. But, you know, how much, you just look into the future. What, with AI and everything that's coming in, you know, do they need studios here eventually? I mean, you're going to have some guy on a computer that generates your movies for you. You know, do we need $1 billion? What is it, $1.5 billion investment down there for something that who knows, you know, how relevant it's going to be in 15 or 20 years?
I guess the relevance is really more about the state of regulation in California, a taxing situation in California. It's just a nightmare for every business.
Yeah, it is for sure. And it makes, you know, hopefully we can in Nevada be a little more business friendly and recruit some of these businesses. But yeah, I mean, I'm not dodging the question. I
No,
just,
I
like I said,
understand.
you know, you're so busy with your own committees and the bills that you hear that it's hard to keep up with, especially bills that coming out of the Senate side. You know, I get lobbyists every single day that want to talk to me about bills over on the Senate side. And at this point, I'm kind of like, once it passes through the Senate and makes it over to the Assembly, then come and talk to me and I'll have some time to look into that. But, you know, I'm so busy with my own bills, I have a hard time keeping track of the other ones. And you know, the film industry bill just, you know, wasn't in my committee, so I just don't know yet.
Okay, let's talk about, you know, in the last session, the governor put out 75 vetoes. Yes, he did. And already he's made it abundantly clear to a colleague of his, Lori Rogich, newly minted state senator, that he will veto the data cleaning bill for the hotel rooms. Were you surprised at that? Because, you know, he has such a slim advantage to be able to, you know, fight the Democrats on any issues that having a public fight this early in the session surprised me a little.
You know, what's frustrating me a little bit in this whole process is, you know, the Democrats are using the number of his vetoes kind of against him to say, look, he's not accomplishing anything. He's stalling everything that we want to do. Yet at the same point, if 2 years ago the governor vetoes a bill, wouldn't you assume if you present the exact same bill that he's going to veto it again? I mean, there was a bill in a hearing where there was a bill that was really similar, And they ended up amending it to be exactly like the bill was 2 years ago, which he vetoed. So you'd assume he's going to veto it again. So is that, if they realistically wanted to pass that bill, wouldn't they have looked at the governor's reasons for vetoing that and make some adjustments and try to get that bill through instead of amending it so it is the exact word for word as a bill that was vetoed last time, which is going to get vetoed? So is that them trying to push through some legislation, or is that them trying to play the game as, well, look, this time he vetoed 100 bills, even though 75 of them were the exact same bills he vetoed last time. And, you know, is that a political game, or is it they're trying to get, you know, push those bills through? I'm not sure.
Now, Speaker Yeager was here a couple of weeks ago, and he said that, you know, they want to look at the bills and see where they can adjust them so that the governor might sign them. Is that talk or is that action?
I sat through a hearing where the amendment took the changes and put it back exactly to the bill that it was 2 years ago.
So this is all about the governor's race then?
I think that's part of it. I think there's some things happening on the Senate side that, you know, Majority Leader Cannizzaro is going to want some sort of wins for her race. You know, she can't go into a race not having accomplished anything.
And she's going to run for Attorney General.
That's the word on the street. I haven't talked to her personally about it, but I've had enough people mention that that's happening that I believe that it probably will.
One of your bills you spoke about recently before the Lyon County Commission, AB 313, would allow volunteer firefighters to get a break on their vehicle registration. This may be an issue that people from Reno and Las Vegas may not understand. Why is this important for firefighters and your constituents?
Well, Clark County has over 100 volunteer firefighters in the county, so that's going to affect them also. But there's just a little over 600 for the whole state. So 20% are in Clark, but the rest are, you know, in the rurals. A lot of this is just to show some appreciation. I mean, they're going to get $350 off their vehicle registration on one vehicle. Is that going to make or break someone? Probably not, but it lets them know that we appreciate them and we want to do something, you know, some token of appreciation there. The rurals, especially the ultra rurals, are really having a hard time keeping their volunteer firefighters. In fact, if you look at Pershing County, Lovelock, 5 years ago they had 30 volunteer firefighters. Now they're, I think, down to about 15. And they also run the ambulance service out there, I believe. And so if there's a crash on I-80 and the ambulance service goes out and you got a couple of fires in that county in Lovelock area, they have to pick and choose. They cannot service that county with 15 firefighters because, you know, not all 15 are working at the same time. And so anything we can do to help increase those numbers and to, you know, like I said, make them feel a little bit appreciated, we'll work on that. That was a quite interesting bill. I submitted it and the DMV looked at it and put a $9 million, you know, money, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cost.
Yeah, the cost on it. A fiscal note is what I'm looking for. So I put a $9 million fiscal note. I'm like, there's only 600 firefighters and we're going to give them each $350 off their vehicle. That's, you know, $200,000. How did you come up with the $9 million? So I had to go in there and that bill is 3 pages long. The financial explanation is 14 pages long. So LCB came up with 14 pages to explain the financial part of my 3-page bill. We were able to work it out and they were bring it down to the $200,000 fiscal note. But a little bit of surprise to open the computer and see that you have a $9 million fiscal note on a bill that you're trying to help firefighters with.
All right, I'm not trying to start a fight with LCB because I have a great deal of respect for LCB, the work they do over the years. But isn't this part of what the discussion is in the country about bureaucracy?
Probably. And I don't know how to make it happen, but ideally in a perfect world, I would, and I guess this would probably make a bigger government, but in a way it might not. But I'd like to be able to see you have each party would have its own LCB and get, you know, I mean, they try to say that they are nonpartisan and neutral, but is that even possible? I mean, everyone has their own biases and their own where they came from. And so sometimes I think it might be beneficial to have LCB. You're getting advice and bills drafted by people who, you know, have the same values as you do.
I wonder if that just creates more tension in the country, that is a country that has so much tension right now, where I understand what you're saying, which is that you don't believe that the LCB can be nonpartisan, but if you have an LCB for each party, then doesn't that immediately become totally partisan?
But are the Democrats bringing nonpartisan bills? Are they bringing left-leaning bills? Are the Republicans, are we bringing?
No, yeah, but the LCB is supposed to be separate from the two parties in terms of
right.
how they run things and how they.
Right. Interesting thought. I think I can see benefits both ways.
All right, let's take a break. More with Greg Koenig after this timeout.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing. Because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblyman Greg Koenig. He is of District 38, which is a huge district. You were on the Churchill County School Board for more than a decade, and were also elected to the Churchill County Commission in 2020. So you've got experience in grassroots local government over a span of more than 20 years. How does that 2 decades in local government help your effectiveness at the legislature?
You know, I think it gives me a little bit different perspective than a lot of the other legislatures up here. A lot of them, you know, the first time they've ever been involved in politics is here in Carson City. And so I was on the school board for 12 years and county commissioner, so I could see how, you know, unfunded mandates affect you down the line. You know, it's easy up here in Carson to say, yeah, that's a good idea, let's do this. But do you realize all the time how that actually affects other, you know, the local governments and the people of the state? I think having gone through it and coming up and seeing it from different angles, I think that gives me a little different perspective, and I think it helps me understand that, hey, you know, what we do up here does have consequences, and it really does affect the lives of the people of this state.
One of the things that we've talked about in previous interviews is your willingness to work across the aisle if it makes sense. So in this session so far, where do you see points where you and the Democrats can get along? What are the issues?
You know, my philosophy is, and I might have already said this to you, but you know, there's 15% on the far right that I can never compromise, and there's 15% on the far left that I can never espouse. But that leaves 70% in the middle that we can work together in. I want to vote yes, unless I have a good reason to vote no. You know, there's a lot of other people up here that are going to vote no unless they have a really good reason to vote yes. There's definitely things I'm going to vote no for, you know, against, but there's a lot of things that if it doesn't go against my core values and I don't see that it's going to, you know, cost a whole lot of money that we don't have, or, you know, there's some bills, I don't know if silly is the right word, but I mean, like last session, and there's five or six this session too, that we made a esports day. Do I think we really, really need an esports day? Probably not. Does it hurt us to have an esports day? You know, it's not like a state holiday where you're paying your people not to work or anything. So, you know, things along those lines, I'm going to tend to vote yes on those kind of things. And in my mind, it's just easier and nicer. And if you're going to be up here, you might as well not hate it the whole time, just to try to get along and vote with people. You know, I think working across the aisle, you know, works in my favor. I know there's lots of times where the person running a bill, you know, from the others across the aisle will come to me with questions and say, you know, some of your people don't like this, what can we do to help? And if I was, you know, an obstructionist and just say, I mean, doesn't matter, I'm gonna vote no matter what, you know, they would have never come to me and asked me for my opinion and to help them out. So by building relationships and being able to work across the aisle, I think it, you know, lets me have a little more influence and my voice is heard a little more than if I was just gonna vote no on everything.
Okay, and I gotta jump in on esports. I think that Nevada, and I'm not worried about esports day, that's fine. But, you know, it shocks me that Nevada in the gaming industry and entertainment industry, because they are one and the same now, hasn't gone more with esports, because around the world,
it's big.
Former State Senator Ben Kiekhefer said on this program at one point that if you had an esports tournament at Allegiant Stadium, it would not only fill Allegiant Stadium, but it would fill every convention center within miles.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right.
Yeah, my son and my son-in-law, we used to play a lot of League of Legends, which is a computer game, and they got me to play with them. And you'd watch the Nationals, and it's back, you know, in Korea, I think, or Japan, and they fill stadiums just full, and it's just crazy, crazy big. So, yeah, I mean, definitely, we could bring them in instead of the film industry and bring in a lot of income and not have to give them so many tax credits, probably.
Hey, good thought right there. We'll take another break, and we'll be right back after this timeout.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation. And a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. Our community is our foundation. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their home. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the heat back on today. Call us today and we'll fix it today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why freeze for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your furnace fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblyman Greg Koenig of District 38. Can you talk a little bit about AB 84 and rural roads? You're the only primary sponsor of that bill, and it's about the maintenance of roads in rural Nevada. What is the state repair and maintenance of our rural roads? Is rural getting the short end of the stick when it comes to NDOT funding? Because, you know, we're already seeing a massive amount of money now going towards I-80 between Reno and the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, but what about the rest of the state?
So this bill really frustrates me. So this is not even as much about funding, but just the ability to do the job. So right now, the rural road departments can only do up to $250,000 worth of repairs. And that was set about 15 years ago.
Isn't that like 100 yards now?
It's about 1,000 yards of pavement.
I was
pretty close.
Joking,
but that number hasn't changed in 15 years. So if it doesn't change in another 15 years, they can afford to do a couple of potholes and that's all. So I had two parts of this bill. One, I was going to apply the highway construction index to that number and bring it up to a number for today, which was just a little over $500,000. And then I didn't want to take money away from the private contractors. So in this bill, we would put that job out to bid two times. And if ever a private contractor bid on that job, the job would be theirs. But if they didn't bid on the job, then the county could do the job. And I thought everything was going really, really well. I even had a handful of unions that were going to testify in support of the bill. And then right at the last second, they brought up the term prevailing wage.
Yes.
And how can I have a county employee on Monday work at the park for their regular salary, on Tuesday work on a road for three times their regular salary? And all the unions came and testified against it and pretty much squashed the bill. So unions in the big cities are squashing the ability for the small counties to fix their roads. So that frustrated me.
And that's where we have to leave it. I thank you for doing this. I really appreciate you coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Fantastic cocktails and delicious food. It's a good time to eat. Over 500 hot slots plus electronic table games.
It's a good time to play.
Player rewards and big time jackpots.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are tamarack.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers come to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.